the meaning of why you're doing it. The love that you're supposed to have. We're going to talk about some of that today. But before we get into chapter 6, we are going to be led in prayer, and Clay is going to lead that prayer for us.
Amen.
Okay, so we've been studying. Paul has been defending his apostleship, defending his ministry to the Corinthians, because they are being, the church there is being hurt by the fact that there's a lot of false teachers coming in. People saying, oh, you can believe this, but you also have to believe this. Or, you know, I know Paul taught you this, but ignore that. This is what you really need to, right? They were coming at different angles depending on who they were. The Jewish teachers were trying to say, you can be Christians, but that doesn't do away with what we practice in Judaism. You still have to do that stuff, right? We know many of the churches dealt with circumcision issues. There was issues with the eating of meats offered to idols. There were issues with the ceremonial cleansing and all this other stuff that were part of the old law. There were all kind of things that the Judaizing teachers were trying to impose on Christians, that it's okay to be a Christian, but you have to accept these other things. And of course, part of we know that one sect of the Jews, the Sadducees, did not believe in resurrection. So if there were any of them coming in teaching, they would have been teaching against the resurrection of Christ as well as other things. So they would have been, I guess the angle that they would have been taking was that you can believe that Christ is a prophet. You can believe in you can believe even the Son, but this resurrection thing is, right? So they would be facing that. And then, of course, you get into the pagan religions, and that's where a lot of the influence would be coming from, that it's okay to believe what you believe, but you have to kind of accept all these other parts of society, right? Which is a lot of what we face today in this country. That it's, you know, we're not necessarily persecuted for having Christian beliefs, but you certainly do get persecuted if you stand up and actually make a stand for some of the things that the Bible stands for, right? In general, even though I believe the majority of people don't feel that way, in general, you get persecuted pretty hard if you stand up against homosexuality in this country. You get all kind of things that are going on in our country you can have your Christian beliefs, but don't come in here saying this is wrong or that's wrong and everything else. So to some degree, we have to deal with that. And the reason I don't want to rush through this and combine too much of this, and even though some of it may seem like we're going over the same thing over and over again, if Paul felt like it was that important to do it with the Corinthians, then it's important for us to study it that way, that we don't just take this as, well, Paul's saying the same thing here, so let's move on. We need to try to look at it as to why is Paul bringing this up again in this, as he's getting to this part of the letter. So let's try to keep that in mind. So chapter 5, Paul there, If to kind of put it in just a little nutshell, Paul there is defending his ministry and his apostleship, and he's kind of saying, this is why we do it, right? This is the motivation. This is why we do what we do, right? And as we get into chapter 6, he's going to say, he's going to get into, this is how we're able to do it, right? So chapter 5 is kind of, this is why we do it, and chapter 6 is this is how we're able to do it. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 6, and then we will talk about what Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians. So chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience and tribulation and needs and distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So Paul here is, again, defending his apostleship and his ministry. And he kind of is saying there in these verses, look at all the things that we have been through in order to work through our ministry. And why would he be bringing that up? Why would he talk about patience, tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and fastings? Why is he telling the Corinthians, look at what we have had to endure in order to bring this message to you?
To one, signify the importance of the Word of God.
Okay. Right, it shows how important Paul feels it is.
That would have given proof to his sincerity and his defense.
Yeah, I think that's the main focus of it, is he's bringing this in, because you can find plenty of people that are willing to do things right up until it becomes difficult, right? And if you don't truly, absolutely believe in what you are focused on, then, or what your purpose is, if you don't truly, absolutely believe that, you're not willing to suffer much for it, right? You'll push it to this point. We can think of it in many terms. For me, I like sports and everything else, but you think about, an athlete, if he's truly committed, he will pretty much put his body through anything to be able to compete and hopefully win at whatever he's doing. But you find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that start off in athletics and it gets to a certain point and they're just not willing to go that far anymore, right? That's why you see, I'll just give you some numbers, but just say you've got 100,000 high school kids playing football. Some of them, it's because they just don't have enough talent, but for a lot of them, it's because they haven't worked hard enough to get themselves ready for the next level and not willing to. And so out of that 100,000, only 20,000 of them get to college. And out of those 20,000 that play college, only some of those have enough talent and enough dedication and devotion to work that hard and not let other things distract them to get to the level where out of that 20,000, only 1,000 of them become pros, right? And out of those, only 100 of them have just any kind of career. And some of it has to do with how much talent they have, but mostly it's to do with how much they're willing to suffer and go through to get to the next level, right? And Paul here is pointing out, what he's trying to show them is, do you think we would have went through all of this if it wasn't genuine? If we, in our hearts, were not convinced that what we're telling you is the absolute truth, right? Do you think any of these other people that were coming before them, trying to teach them other ways and everything, went through any of this stuff? Why would somebody be imprisoned if they're just basically saying, let's all get along, let's not cause any issues here, right? You accept what you want to accept, and you accept what you want to accept, and you think those people were getting imprisoned or beaten, right? We could go back and read about all these things. I don't think we need to, because we're all well aware of the fact that throughout his missionary journeys, Paul was basically left for dead at times, right? He was thrown out of cities. He was had to leave in the middle of the night to escape different issues. He saw other Christians that he was teaching and everything. We know like the house of Jason and stuff, where they were punished because they believed in what Paul was teaching. So Paul had to endure all this. And if you have to endure all that, There's nobody that's going to go through all of that to that level if it's not genuine. At least they have to believe it's genuine, right? Otherwise, they're not going to go through that. Did you have something, Leon? Okay. So I think that's what he's trying to say there in all of that. And there's a couple of things that I just want to point out in that list, because a lot of them we know about, right? We know that Paul had a lot of tribulation. We know that he was beaten. We know that all of that. But there's a couple of things that he mentions in there, too, that I don't know if we dwell on that much, because a lot of times one in particular I'm going to mention, and rightfully so, we do sermons on here, we hear sermons done, we do talks, in lessons we study it about anxiety, right? That we shouldn't be anxious, we need to be, but yet Paul mentions sleeplessness here. So there are times as Christians that we are going to suffer anxiety, some of it brought on by the world, some of it, a lot of the anxiety that we need to avoid is the stuff that's concerning the world. But there are things that we are going to suffer through as Christians, legitimate anxieties that it's hard to put off, right? Any of us that have children that aren't being faithful, that creates a lot of anxiety. It creates a lot of sleeplessness, right? And Paul, in dealing with all these, he gets these letters like he got about the Corinthians. They're having all these issues. Now, Paul spent a lot of time there. He worked with them. He got the church established there. By the time he left, he had taught them. They were instructed on what to do, but they needed to continue to grow. And then Paul gets a report of them. They're not doing so good. You think Paul just said, well, that's too bad. Sorry about that. I did my part, right? No, Paul's saying he's deeply concerned about it, right? And why is he concerned about it? Because it's not just it's their eternal souls, right? And that's what Paul has been told to do. That's his purpose in life, is to go out and teach people about Christ so that they can have their sins forgiven and they can have the hope of eternity in heaven. That's what he spent his entire life since he was converted doing. And he believes in it, and it means something to him. You know, quickly, he talks about all of these things that he goes through. And it's things, similar things that we go through today. Not necessarily are we being beaten or thrown in prison, but that day may come. In other parts of the world, that does happen. But just some of those things that he talks about, sleepless nights. As a Christian, if you truly love people the way you're supposed to love them, there's times you're going to have sleepless nights when they get on your mind and you're thinking about it. Like I said, especially if they're dear friends or your children or whatever, it's going to be hard to get through a day and get through nights without sitting there thinking about it. And again, we need to understand there are things that are out of our control when it comes right down to it, right? With our children, we do the best we can to raise them. Once they've gotten out of sight of the realm of our real ability to influence them, if they go off in a different, there's nothing we can really do about it, but it doesn't mean that we don't lay up in bed at night and it gets on our minds and it's hard to sleep that night, right? Those things happen. And so Paul is saying we went through all of this and we did it because what we're doing is genuine, right? And so then in the second part of that, he talks about how they're able to do it, right? By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed. As sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, and having nothing yet possessing all things. So Paul then is saying, so this is the reason we do it, and this is how we're able to do it. Turn over to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. You got it, Jerry? 2 Peter. Are you there?
Yeah.
You want to read that for me?
2 Peter 1, verse 5 to
8.
Okay. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, self-control to self-control, perseverance to perseverance, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so keeping in mind what we just read there from Peter, looking back at this and see if it sounds familiar to you, what Paul just said, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth. Same thing, isn't it? That's what we have to do in order to grow as Christians, right? We have to grow in all these areas. And sometimes, I think, at sometimes, we get the impression that when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, they didn't need any of this, right? Well, he just granted them everything, and they're good to go. They're perfect Christians, right? Paul's saying, right, what's he saying right here? He grew in all those areas just like every other Christian has to, right? He had to learn long-suffering. He had to spend time in knowledge. All those things that Peter talks about that Christians need to grow, Paul's saying that's what he did. He continued to do all of these things, grow in patience, grow in perseverance, grow in love, right? Brotherly kindness. All of this, by him growing in those areas, is what's enabled him to continue on. It's what's given him the strength and everything else to continue on in his ministry, right? When Jesus appeared to him and he became an apostle, and the Holy Spirit, for all the apostles, when the Holy Spirit brought into remembrance the things that Christ had taught them, when he gave them the knowledge, that it didn't mean that they're just instant perfect Christians. They can go out and do everything else. They all had to continue to grow too, right? Right. We have instances of Peter having to be corrected it, right? And we focus on Peter, but I guarantee you every one of the apostles had similar issues, right? Where at times they need to get back on course, right? And it's the same for every Christian. Just because the Holy Spirit didn't miraculously come upon us and give us, we have the teachings, right? We have them here. We have to spend time studying them. But Paul's basically saying, and Peter said it, John says it, you have to continue to grow in these things, right? You have to do that. In order to grow as a Christian, you have to continue to grow in all these things. You have to learn. You have to continue to learn to be patient with your brothers and sisters, with situations. You have to learn and develop and patience. You have to, without the proper love that you have to grow into, you're not going to have the right love for those that are lost to go out and put the effort out to teach them. You're not going to have the right love for your brethren to get through all the issues that might come up, or to make sure you be willing to spend a little bit of your time to help them to grow, all the things that we need to do. We have to work on those things. Paul's saying, I had to work on these things. We through all of this, through learning all of this, through learning patience, through growing in knowledge, through all of this stuff, is what has enabled me to put up with everything that I've put up with to continue to teach the message. Any comments, questions on any of that? Okay, so in John 13, 34 and 35, you don't have to turn over there, but Jesus basically, what does he say there? I give you a new command, love one another, right? And then he says, to what level? Yeah, so to love one another was not the new command, but the level of it. We saw it in Jesus. We saw it, right? We have it recorded for us. We saw it in the way that he conducted himself with others. We saw it in what he was willing to do to make salvation possible, right? We saw the love, and Christ said, as much as you can, you need to have the exact same love for your brethren that you saw in me having for you. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not saying we'll ever perfect that. Obviously, I'm not even going to begin to say that I can love to the level that Christ did, but I can certainly try to keep growing in that, right? I can keep, that can still be my target every day, to grow in the love that I'm supposed to have towards my brethren. And Christ gave us that command that's the level of love you need to get to, right? Now, we're never going to get there. We're never going to get to the exact same level of love. I don't know that we're capable of having the same love that Christ did, but we can certainly continue to move in that direction constantly. And the more, and I think this is the reason that Paul is pointing it out to the Corinthians, the more you grow towards that, the more all these little problems take care of themselves. If in this congregation, if we all had the exact, and don't take this the wrong way, I'm not saying that anybody here doesn't show love to each other, but if every Christian in this building had the love that Christ had for us, we would have no issues, I guarantee you. There is nothing that wouldn't be solved almost instantly, right? Because if there was no any time with that kind of love, you don't allow personal feelings to get into it. You don't allow, well, I've seen this before. None of that comes into it. Because did Christ, is that the love that Christ demonstrated? Did he put any qualifications on it? Did he, you know, when you see the way that he dealt with people, no matter how society might have looked at those people, how did Christ treat them? Right? With respect, with dignity, with love. Right? And if we all had that, there's no issue that would come up here that we couldn't solve. The problem is, we're human. And just like all the churches we're reading about in our study of Revelations, just like every church we can turn to in the New Testament and see things, there are times when that love's not where it's supposed to be, right? And because of that, issues come up. And as those issues come up, without the proper love, they don't get solved very easily, right? They become bigger issues. And eventually, something more severe has to happen before those things can get solved. Okay, anything else? All right, we're going to move on. So I'll read 11 through 18. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part of a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So, as we get into 11, Paul starts off there with, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you, right? And we're asking you to do the same thing with us. We are being totally open and honest with you, and we want you to be the same way with us. So Paul just goes through this whole thing of how he had to grow, what enabled him to continue on with his ministry. And then he gets into, I've just spoken openly to you about what I've been through, about all the things I've suffered through, about how I'm able, what helps me to be able to do that. And now you need to be open and honest in return, right? And so what's the big underlying issue with the issues that the Corinthians are having? Trying to think of the word, I just lost it. All of these symptoms that you see in the church, what's the root cause of? What's the true sickness? Yeah, all those things, they haven't grown the way they're supposed to, right? That list of what we read in Peter and what basically Paul just said right there, as the majority, I'm not going to say it's all of them, right? We can never make a blanket statement, just like Chuck talks about in Revelations, that it's not necessarily every single Christian there, right? I'm sure there were still some people that were growing in Corinth, but there was enough of them that weren't that it was causing issues, right? They're not doing the things that they need to grow as Christians. They're not developing all those other things, which eventually the one that's listed last is the one that comes through all those other things, is having the love that you're supposed to have, right? And we're not talking about touchy-feely love. We were talking about biblical love, the genuine desire for what's best for those others, right? The genuine desire that the love that we should have for one another here is that no matter what somebody is suffering with, no matter what they're going through, we are praying and doing everything we can to help them with that situation, right? Especially spiritual situations, but physical as well, right? Does it do any good whatsoever for Larry or whoever's doing announcements up here, say, well, let's remember to keep this person in our prayers and that person in our prayers. And when you go home, you never think about them? You never do anything, right, to pray for them? Or do you think you're showing the love that you're supposed to be for those? And I'm not saying I'm perfect at that. I'm not making judgments on anybody. I'm just pointing it out. When there are people that we should be praying about and we're not, we haven't developed. And I'm not saying we can't, in our minds, we can't just forget about somebody for a minute or whatever, right? I'm not saying that if you're not including every single person that's mentioned in the announcements and every other Christian that you know of throughout the world who's suffering, if you're not including them by name in every prayer, that that there's something wrong with you. But I'm just saying, if there are people that in our minds we're aware of we should be praying for, we're not doing it. If there are people that we know are struggling in some way and we have the ability to go and help them with that, physical or whatever, and we're not doing it, then we're not, we haven't grown as Christians to the point where we should be, right? And we need to keep working towards that. And so the underlying issue here with the Corinthians, as with most churches, then throughout history and today, the biggest reason for problems to come up within the church is that the members there are not growing the way that they're supposed to, right? With the eventual, through all of that knowledge patience, all of the things that we're told to grow in, right? Eventually getting to love, right? That we're supposed to have brotherly kindness, but to brotherly kindness add love. It's not just good enough for me to say, gee, I sure hope everything is going well for you there, right? But if I don't have the love to genuinely be praying about that, be willing to help where I can to help you get through those situations, then it's great. I've got brotherly kindness. I speak kindly to you. I offer words of encouragement when I see you. But in my heart, it's not where it's supposed to be. And that's what's happening here in Corinth. That's the reason they're having these problems. That's what's happening in a lot of the churches we're talking about in Revelations. It's the same. We can turn to almost every congregation we can turn to throughout history, the ones that we know of, the ones that we've been part of, everything else. Issues develop when we as individual Christians are not growing the way we're supposed to. How does the church become stronger? How does the congregation at Lakeland Hills become stronger? When all of the members are growing in the way that they're supposed to, right? Well, I can't control anybody but myself. So when that question comes, if that question comes into my mind, what can I do to make the congregation stronger? You become a stronger Christian yourself. If each and every member is trying to learn and develop and be a better Christian tomorrow than they were today, this church is growing, right? And I can't control what Jerry does. I can't control what Chuck does. I control what Daryl does, right? And so what can I do to make the congregation here stronger? I can try to become a better Christian myself. And everybody that's the same that's true for each and every individual, right? And when that's not happening, eventually problems are going to show up. And those problems don't just pop up instantly, right? They grow and they become more. And if enough of us are not growing in the way that we're supposed to, those little underlying issues, and really they continue to grow, but next thing you know, you've got a congregation here that's not even close to being what we're supposed to be, right? We're just like some of those that we're talking about in Revelations. It's great. You go through the motions. You're here every Sunday. You take of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You say prayers and stuff, and you sing songs, but you've lost your love. The thing that really makes you a Christian, you've lost hold of that. Great, you go through the motions. You can check all the boxes. But the one box you can't check is you have not grown in your love, right? You have not developed the love that God wants you to have towards the world, towards your fellow Christians, right? When we read, and this is a little bit easier for me because I've had personal contact with people and stuff, but when you read the reports of the men we support, do you genuinely get excited about the things that are going on over there, or you just kind of breeze through it and say, okay, well, that's good, right? And again, I'm not passing judgment on anybody. But we should be genuinely excited about the fact that we can support other men who are out there. People I will never meet while on this earth, maybe in heaven, because we were able to help support work that was being done by, you know, whoever we're supporting, right? In whatever area. And we should have the same genuine love for Christians. Doesn't matter whether we've ever met them or not. If we learn that a congregation in the panhandle is going through some rough times because a storm came through there, we should genuinely be concerned about it. I'm not saying we can all rush up there and help. I know there are situations there. Physically, some of us can't help, right? But we can all pray for them. We can all try to get in contact with somebody that can be in contact with them and say, what do they need? Is there anything that, you know, and some of the stuff they need, we may not be able to provide. But if we can, we should be wanting to do that. We should have, that's the love God wants us to have towards other Christians, whether we know them or not. If they are Christians, if they are following the Word of God, they are truly trying to be what God wants them to be, then we should have that love. We should be developing that love for them, right? That when I hear about, if Mike comes in and he says, yeah, you know, one of my good friends up in wherever, Alabama, he's a Christian and everything else, and they had a tough, we should be genuinely concerned about that, right? Not just Mike be concerned about it because he knows him personally. We as Christians should be concerned about that. We should be praying about that. If there's some way we might can help, we should be looking into that. That's the love that we're supposed to have. That's the way the church grows. Go ahead, James.
When I was out in the Midwest visiting with my aunt and uncle, I was really impressed that a farmer would get sick and wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, and we, sometimes, I think the biggest fault, and I'm not saying, when I say the biggest fault with us, I'm talking about is Christians in general, not necessarily saying it's here, but I think the biggest thing is when something really devastating happens, and so it's devastating enough that we all realize, wow, that's terrible, right? That's, wow, oh man, we're quick to respond. But sometimes we're not so quick to respond because we pass things off as, well, yeah, they're going through that, but everybody goes through that. They're, right? Some things that don't seem that significant to us, we sometimes don't do as good a job responding to as when the real bad things happen, right? There's, when something bad happens, I have no doubt the church responds awesomely, right? When somebody passes away, when something terrible happens to somebody, if a hurricane come through here, and James all of a sudden doesn't have a place to live, you think that everybody here is not going to step up and say, James, come stay with us, right? Those kind of things are going to happen. But sometimes we might hear, well, whatever's going on with James, right? He's having a lot of issues with his back. So we'll mention James in our prayers, but is it really in our hearts the way it's supposed to be as to how's James doing, right? I need to call James. I need to check in. I'm sending him a card, do what I can, you know. And some things, like, and Chuck's brought this up before, some things we can't sympathize with to the level that we're supposed to because we've never gone through it or we've never had a close person that's close to us go through it, so we can't sympathize to the level that we're supposed to. But we can still keep growing in the love that we're supposed to have so that the congregation here doesn't face these issues, because if we're not growing the way we're supposed to, those issues will raise their head. It may not be for 5 years, it may not be for 10 years, but they're going to raise their head, right? If Joe isn't developing the way he's supposed to as a Christian, and Sherman's not, and I'm not, and Clay's not, and Mike's not, well, that's just five people, right? It shouldn't have that big of an impact on the church or whatever. Guess what? Mike talks to people, Daryl talks to people, Joe talks to everybody. So, right? And eventually some of this stuff is going to come out in conversation. Some of this stuff is going to, and it's going to become a cancer. It's going to affect the congregation. And we'll be right where the Corinthians are, where you'll have a few people that are working really hard to be good Christians, and you'll have a pretty good part of us that aren't where we're supposed to be, and it's going to affect the church. Whether we have elders or not, the elders can do everything they can to help this congregation, to make sure that we're being fed in the way that we're supposed to. They can organize things like the men's studies or whatever is going on. They can organize things to try to give people more opportunities, right, to grow. But the fact of the matter is, there is no way in the world, if we had 950 elders and only one member here, those 950 elders could not make that person grow. They could do everything they possibly could to help them. Well, eventually it comes down to you, right? You have to be committed to grow as a Christian. And if each and every one of us is committed to grow as we're supposed to develop all those things that are talked about in Peter, the things that Paul says enable him to continue on with his ministry, all those things, learning patience and long-suffering and brotherly kindness and love and all of those things that we're supposed to be developing as Christians, if we are all on a daily basis working towards those things, we won't have those problems. Because guess what? When Daryl's having issues or whatever, Mike's checking on him. Chuck's checking on him. He's being prayed. It's being taken care of before it ever gets to any issue where all of a sudden Daryl starts going around. Yeah, nobody. It's been announced for 6 weeks now that I'm having problems with my knee. Nobody even talks to me about it. Nobody prays for me about this. Nobody, right? Those things affect people, and those things, and when it affects a person, it affects the church. Right? Go ahead. It's a two-headed monster. It's what Danielle's talking about, the fact that sometimes we just don't feel adequate enough to help. But that doesn't mean we can't still be trying. We can't be working towards that, right? We can't be. There's absolutely nothing wrong with Danielle going to Laura and saying, I've never been through anything like that. You know, right? Because sometimes we might be tempted to say something. And if that other person happens to have been through a situation, yeah, you got to be careful with that. Because I know when I was going through that a lot of people meant well, but when they say things like this to me. But if our heart's in the right place, if our love is in the right place, we do seek out how we can help. Sometimes we may determine that there's not much I can do for them, right? Other than pray for them, right? The other side of that is, and I'm guilty of this, some of us aren't real open about sharing what's bothering us, right? We're not necessarily all that free about opening up about our issues and everything else because and it could be out of what we think is good motivation. I don't want to bother people with that. There's so many other things going on that they don't need, right? But all of us, I think, I shouldn't say all of us, there's a lot of us that need to work on that. That, you know what? You may not be feeling the love from the congregation because you're not giving them an opportunity. Right, you're not letting them know you're struggling, right, or you're having issues, right? So we need to keep that in mind too as we think about that. Anything else?